I'm just more trying to prevent us from getting ourselves into a pickle, a technical pickle from our paperwork aspect. So
I'll take a look and make sure that
okay.
It's
all right. Does anybody, has anybody got any heartburn about us doing the rate increase prior to understanding what the resolution said?
Yeah, I've got some heartburn, but I think we need to close the public hearing and get a motion.
Okay, sounds
on the table.
Well, okay, sounds good.
Unless we have anybody in the public.
Right, sorry. Anybody else want to comment from the public? I don't think so. I don't blame you. We'll close the public hearing and we will go with entertaining a motion.
Move to approve resolution number 03-22-1675.
Moved by Gilbert.
Second.
Seconded by Morrison. Discussion?
Just so the public knows, when we decided to raise rates and we could do it by resolution, we put a special stipulation that we desperately wanted public hearing and public input. And we're not getting it, which is what I sort of discussed with our clerk and our borough manager. But just so the public understands, the current residential rate for water, and it's a fixed rate, $47.15. And with the proposed 21% increase, that would be a $9.90 increase up to $57.05. Mm-hmm. And over a year, that's $118.80 to the residents. And in this year, and this is where I'm just beating myself up for not insisting that we talked about it, about doing rate studies, and we just put it off and put it off, and now we've come to this crunch. And I understand about front-loading these increases with the 21% up front for the first year, and then scaling it back over 5 years. But in this age of high inflation, and we've raised electricity rates, it's just, and we're not getting any public input. I don't care if they're screaming at us. I wouldn't blame them, you know, because we did not have that forward thinking, which I hope we've, with a gung-ho borough manager, we're going to start developing. But I have a proposal backing down these percentages, and over 5 years, we'll still get the same result. In other words, for the public, the first year 1% increase, which is whopping, I'm proposing that we do a 10%. So instead of a 21, a 5, a 3, a 2, and 2 over those 5 years, we can do the same result if we do a 10, 10, 5, 5, and 2. And we'll get, it'll be just slightly a few dollars less over the 5 years realized with compared to your plan.
How does that affect your front loading?
Yeah, I mean, I'd really like to run that model before we pass something just so I can speak intelligently on it. But my initial inclination is that if we did that, you'd be digging into reserves to cover financing costs of the water treatment plant on the first few years. And then, like I said, you'd be recouping that cost towards the back end once the thing's in production and we're five, 6 years down the road. So
whenever you ran those costs, was it based on our actual loan date, or was it based off of?
It's based on the loan date.
Right. So, and that's one thing we can look at too. So for the first year, we're going to be in construction.
Yep.
And we probably won't have to actually use that loan until year two. So not this fiscal year, but next fiscal year.
Right.
Is when we take the loan. So we'd already have 10%. Next year, we'll hit the next 10%. So that'll be 20%.
Yeah, you'd be halfway through the fiscal year next year.
Plus already collecting the 10% for 1 year, so you'll be able to stockpile that. So that'll make up the difference. So I think
the numbers. Well, the first year you'll have your 10%. Second year it'll be 21%. On your third year, with that 5% increase, you'll make the 27% increase demanded by our loan or the granting agency.
Yeah,
I think it'll work.
So you'll actually make up the difference in that first year, and then by the time I take the loan in the second year, we'll be at that. You'll be at the 10%.
Could I ask? Because we're hitting Mason with this,
or 20%.
Out of the blue, I'd like to ask that Mason, we give you a chance to go back to your office and take a look at everything and make sure, because my fears, I also know we have to be at a certain level by the DC, is it DC?
USDA.
USDA, sorry.
It's a recommended. It's not a requirement. It's recommended to be able to get the loan.
And we got the loan.
But also it's recommended for favorable grant terms too, right? So they'd be more likely to give us funding if we demonstrate an ability to, you know, have our projects come to fruition, which at 1.5% of median household income is what they would consider the optimum amount. So it does have grant implications on how much we receive in the future.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if I could make a recommendation, which I can't make a motion.
Well, I've got it for you, because it's actually what I want to have happen. I want the public to be noticed that we've got these rate increases, and I'd love to get some feedback from the public. But I'd like to have you rework the numbers, and I'm going to move that we postpone this to the April 12th assembly meeting. Will you be?
Yeah, happy to do that. You know, I just basically update my amortization tables for you guys, and happy to. It should take 15 minutes.
I will make one comment, Patty, and that is this. We have noticed this meeting. These were noticed. And I understand. I appreciate that. But people have to show up, and they have to take an interest. And we will do it again. But, you know, there's only so much you can do. And I appreciate we'll go at it again, and we'll trust that Sarah will get some stuff in the newspaper, and maybe you could give her an interview about some of your thoughts afterwards. But at some point, we have to get these things moving forward too. So, but I don't want to pressure Mason to move forward until he's had a chance to work with Jeff. So I like the idea of postponing. So do you want to make a motion?
I move to postpone this item to the April 12th, 2022 meeting.
Okay.
Great, yeah, I'll put a little package together for you guys.
Okay, I'll second it.
So seconded by Morrison. Any discussion on a postponement? Will you call the roll, please, Kim?
Sure. Assembly members, Ryan Howe?
Yeah.
Darrenbo?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
And Mayor Pisanka?
Yes. Okay, I may have fallen a little over here. Make sure I'm on item D, correct?
Yes.
Thank you. Ordinance number 1021 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending sections 15.08.060 and 15.08.240 and chapter 15.08 sewers, and establishing a new process for fees and rates by removing the fees from the Wrangell Municipal Code and adding them to a fee and rate schedule. So this is a public hearing. I will declare the public hearing open and ask you, do you have an administrative report, Jeff?
Yes. Again, this is kind of taking things out of the ordinance as far as the actual rates and putting them into a rate fee schedule that, again, saves us money whenever we have to publish any ordinance.
Thank you. Does anybody in the audience want to comment on this? Not hearing anything. With that, I will close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
Move for approval of ordinance number 1021.
Moved by Morrison, seconded by Gilbert. Thank you. Discussion?
No, this is just for the public. This is just moving these rates to a rate schedule and out of our code.
Hearing none. Full vote, please, Kim.
Yes, Assembly Members Dalrymple?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes, and our final public hearing tonight is resolution number 03-22-1676 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, creating the fee and rate schedule for the Wrangell Sewer Department and implementing a structure for increasing fees and rates. And this is a public hearing. I'll declare it open and ask if you have an administrative report, Jeff.
Yeah, so the rate and fee schedule is actually on the report. I don't have the percentage. Is it the same as what you have for the water?
Yeah, it directly mirrors the water increases. So.
That's what it looks like. So.
Okay. Anybody from the audience want to comment on this item? Yep, Tom?
I'd like to add something just from the perspective of the sewer department, and this is also related to the water department, but, you know, this isn't just about the building needs and different things like that. Some of our needs are our water and sewer mains and some of these things, and living a legacy of having lots of money in the early 80s, putting in a lot of infrastructure, and, you know, being told we're going to have a 50-year lifespan on those things. But that was if they were bonded, welded, wrapped, and all of these things were done upon installation. Most of those things weren't done. And so we're at 40 years right now. We're seeing a lot of these things fail around town. And, you know, in the last 10 years, the city and borough has repaved Evergreen Street and not fixed the underground utilities. When we did Front Street right downtown, we replaced the water main, but we didn't replace the sewer main. And so we've got 40, 45-year-old utilities in some of these places that we're going to see them continue to break. And the problem, considering the age, is likely to only get worse. And so I think it's important for the assembly members and the community as a whole to understand that that's part of the legacy that we are trying to right the ship on right now.
Thank you, Tom.
If I can add to that, and I think Tom did a great job of summarizing it. We're at the point now where with most of our enterprise funds, I won't say all of them, but most of our enterprise funds, we're in the same situation where rates haven't been raised in quite a long time. And we've never capitalized any of the costs as far as replacement of what we have to for enterprise funds. And just for a little bit of clarification for the community and public as well, our enterprise funds are run like a business, so they have to be self-sufficient. So our water treatment has to pay for itself. Our sewer has to pay for itself. Our sanitation has to pay for itself, which means that doesn't come out of our general funds. That comes out of the rates and fees that we charge. So, and we're to the point now where we haven't built up the money that we've needed to build up over time to be able to start recapping and doing the maintenance and repair to a lot of the things that we should have been doing. So raising some of these rates now will at least start getting us in the right direction so that we start building up the funds to actually start doing the maintenance on the facilities we should be doing.
Mr. Mayor, we need to remember this is the public hearing.
Yep.
So administrative reports and such should be after the motion is made.
I apologize.
Sorry.
Yep. Thank you. Okay. Anybody else from the public? Hearing none, we'll close this public hearing and I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve resolution number 03-22-1676.
Moved by Gilbert.
Second.
Seconded by Morrison. Discussion.
Mayor.
Yeah, please go ahead, Patty.
I have the same heartburn over this also as I did over the water. For the public, the residential fee for sewer on your utility bill right now is $40.74. With the 21% increase contemplated tonight, that'll bring it up to $49.30, which is an increase of $8.56 per month. And that's $102 and change over the year. And that's just this first year. And then as the resolution is written, then it's 5% increase, 3%, 2%, and 2%. And I'm suggesting that we level it out something to the effect of what I suggested for the water, the 10, 10, 5, 5, and 2, or even level it out even more. I understand that we need the money because, and I understand it's an enterprise fund, but with the inflation, and I just don't want to see the ratepayer experience that big of a jump, because basically we were negligent and not being proactive 7 years ago. I think these rates haven't been raised for 7 years. I just think I would like to have a smoother incline and not so steep.
I am really concerned that we are, you know, I think I've been on here 7 or 8 years, and we've discussed rates before, and I've heard sort of the same things back when we were discussing them before, that we just know we can't do this to the ratepayers, or it's, I appreciate that it's hard, but at some point we're going to have catastrophic failures that we've got to start replacing things. And, you know, I sit on other boards, you know, utility boards, where we're having the same discussions about aging infrastructure and we undercapitalizing our CapEx, and now we're paying the piper, and that's we at some point I think we have to, if we don't have the money up front to deal with the issues, I'm really worried about it. And we may wind up getting to the same place using a smaller gradient. I get that. But I want to understand, I guess, why administration is making this request. I don't think it's because they're mean. So I need to understand why the finance director believes it's important to front load these raises. And if we go and change the gradient approach that they're proposing, what are we jeopardizing on the other end? I'm going to go to Jim and then Ann.
Bigger picture to me, it sounds terrible because it's 21%, but it's $100. It's $100 in a year, and you're talking about maybe dropping it to $50. So we're arguing over $50.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't see the point.
We're not supposed to argue with one another.
No. I'm just respectfully. The bigger picture, I understand it's a huge percentage increase. Right. If it was 21% of, you know, a couple thousand dollars, it'd be a different issue. But it's 21% of $40 a month.
Ed?
I just think it's time to stop saying we should have done something 7 years ago and face the fact that it didn't get done 7 years ago, and it hasn't gotten done in the last 7 years, and probably in the last 15, and take care of the problem.
Hey, guys on the phone, do you guys want to jump in? I've ignored you all night, so I'm going to let you talk on sewers.
I'm kind of with the ones that want to just make the change now. You know, it feels like we're saying we're kind of always putting things off, and yeah, it seems like it might be time.
Bob, you got some thoughts on it?
Yeah, I kind of agree with the previous couple of folks who said it's time for action now. And this, you know, the new facilities and the loans we're getting, I think it's a good emphasis for it. So I'd like to move forward with this.
Okay. Other thoughts?
I'm looking at the whole picture of the community. You know what we're experiencing right now. I mentioned the inflation, the increase in fuel charges, the increase in transportation, and then the increase in the water rate. We can't forget that. And then the increase in the electrical rate, and perhaps another increase this calendar year, and then the increase in sewer, and we haven't talked about garbage. I would assume that increase is coming down. So putting it all together, it could be just $50, and that's residential. But I'm just thinking we can reach the same goal, maybe a little bit slower. I'm not suggesting we don't raise rates, because that's just kicking the can down the road again, and that I certainly don't want to do. But I think we could, if we put our mind to it, make it a little bit more palatable. $100 to me a year, I can absorb it, but maybe other people can't. And remember, this is just residential. I don't know what the increase would be. I didn't calculate that for businesses. So we have to think about that also. But I really don't see, I understood the need for this range of percentage increases for the water, but I don't fully grasp the need for the same percentage increase for the sewer. I understand that we do need things replaced, and you know, sooner rather than later. But
I'll let Tom comment on the operational side of it, then I can follow up with some financing.
There is a list of projects in the agenda packet here of things that are likely coming, starting with the 301H waiver and a requirement of disinfection. That would require us to build a building over the effluent to install either UV treatment or something like ozone or chlorination, which would require dosing equipment, SCADA equipment. It would require destructors or dechlorination equipment. This will increase our O&M costs over time. DEC has already basically suggested to us that they are considering us for secondary treatment. Right now, we have a 30% removal. We are typically around 50 to 60% removal. Secondary treatment would require us to get to 80% removal. And DEC is basically saying, well, you guys are already pretty close. This wouldn't be that bad for you guys to get there. And it's a couple $1 million. That shouldn't be that hard for you to absorb. But as a small community, that is a big expense for us. Mm-hmm. And so for us to go to secondary treatment, at the very least, it would require recirculation of recirculating the water back through and running it again. The good news is our aeration ponds already function partially as a secondary treatment plant, in that secondary treatment is microbial activity that basically reduces the organics and different things like that that are in the water. Now, most other places, and this is where we would require an engineer, have a settling pond prior to their aeration pond and then a polishing pond after that. If we had to require that, we don't really have room for that at the wastewater treatment plant, and so we would have to build a pond down below it somewhere and then pump to that. Another thing, we have never done sludge removal on our ponds at the wastewater plant, and this is something that DEC, I believe it's DEC or it's EPA, I can't remember now, but we got an email about this in the last month asking us, when was the last time we've done this? Why haven't we done it? And we test for it, and we monitor it, but at some point they're going to require us to do it, and we need to be prepared for that. And if we can, you know, I don't have a full understanding of the scope of whether or not that is something that we can do ourselves or whether or not that is something we would have to contract somebody in for. If we did, it would likely be contracting somebody from the lower 48, because I don't believe there's anybody else in Southeast Alaska that would be able to do that kind of work. Another thing that we don't have right now at the wastewater plant that the majority of our neighbors already have is a septic receiving station. Being able to dewater things like our vac truck when we have to clean grease and different things out of our sewer stations, or if we have a broken sewer main and we need to suck up the ground that is being soaked with sewage, we have to have a way to process that. And most other communities, they have a sloped concrete vault, they back the truck right up to it, they dump into it, and it's able to process all of that stuff on its own. Right now, we're dumping it in an aluminum box with drain cloth, and we're wrapping it in seine twine, and that's how we're managing it. It's definitely more labor-intensive. And another issue that we are experiencing recently in the last 3 years, really, maybe 5 years, is duckweed on our polishing pond. Other wastewater plants in other places, they'll have a mechanical boom that goes around the polishing pond that keeps it clear of things like duckweed. The alternative is manpower. And basically, you're getting it all to one side, and then you're sucking it out, and you have to deal with that. And this is kind of developed in the last 5 years. There are ways to chemically treat that, but then again, you have to de-chemical that before it goes out into the effluent. And also, if we do look at any kind of development out the road, where I'm currently in contact with an engineer about doing a sewer analysis for our sewer stations going out to the end of the line, which is right at about 6.1 mile. But if we're talking the Institute property or, you know, potentially the mill property down the road, we don't know that we can actually handle that additional flow and sewage right now. And so we specifically have concerns about nodes 10, 11, and 12. Nodes 13 through 17 are probably in pretty good shape. Those are 7.5 horsepower pumps. For some reason, nodes 11 and 12 are only 3 horsepower pumps. And then the piping from node 10 to the force main that goes up to the wastewater plant is undersized. Those pumps are running a lot longer than they need to, which in turn is going to burn them up faster than what they should be because they're working harder because they don't have the correct sizing of mains. Again, another thing that just was never replaced or upgraded years ago when they redid this. And so for us to upgrade those sewer stations, it's about $500,000 a piece. That's about how much it cost us last time we did one of those sewer stations. If the mill property was developed, we would have to extend the line out to the property, and we would likely have to add a lift station at that property to tie into node 17. So there's another $1 million. You know, it just, the cascade effect of the needs that could be coming with wastewater, we need to start to plan ahead and prepare for if we want to be able to afford some of these things.
Can I ask you, Tom, what is your current status of your reserve? How much do you have in reserve in your sewer?
Mason might have a more exact number, but last time I looked, I thought that it was close to $1 million.
$1.3 million. Healthier than water.
The wastewater is in better shape than most. Nonetheless, though, if even a couple of these things happen within the next few years, we are going to need to capture more revenue in order to be able to afford it or require some kind of grant funding, which we are working with Senator Sedman and other people on to try to go after that if this ends up being a requirement. But so far we're being told it's going to be low interest loans.
And do they have a formula for what they consider to be a reserve, you know, what you should have held in reserve for your enterprise fund for a sewer this size?
For enterprise funds, it's typically 6% or 50% of your operating, or 6 months of your operating costs is typically what your enterprise funds are.
Thank you.
May I ask 2 questions? In your summary statement to the assembly, you mentioned all of these items that you just mentioned to the public, and the cost came up to between 6.9 to 8.9 million. Is that over 5 years, or what's the time horizon? I understand that if something breaks down, obviously, or if we expand development, that you've got to act quickly, but what time horizon is that 6.9 to 8.9 million ask over?
That's a difficult question for me to answer, primarily because we are waiting on so many external factors with DEC and EPA and different things like that. It sounds like the disinfection will be when our 301H waiver permit is reissued, which they are currently working on doing right now. Once that is issued to us, we will have a 5-year compliance window with that. DEC could tell us tomorrow that we need to do sludge removal. That one, we don't know. And some of the sewer mains and different things like that, you know, we are seeing more and more breaks, and things are only getting older and older. And so, you know, I would say that's a 10-year window maybe on those, where we're going to have to be doing a pretty significant overhaul throughout the collection system to address some of those things. You know, the cost of inflation has gone up for us as well. And, you know, for us to maintain our pump inventory and different things like that, right now there's 6-month lead times. And so if we have 5 of these pumps in the system and one of them breaks down, well, now it's 6 months out. Chances are they were replaced in a similar time frame or in a similar era. And so, you know, we want to try and be proactive about that while being responsible and within reason. But just knowing that if one goes down, chances are another one could go down, and it could be 6 months or longer for us to get some of those replacement parts and materials.
And it would be nice, as far as what we have for inventory of pumps, we have different styles of
makes
pumps
and some
different locations.
Yeah.
So as we go through and replace, we may have to upgrade some pumps to standardize, so maybe a little more expensive for the pump, but if we standardize, then it's less inventory we have to
right.
on the shelf. So
yeah, that's something I've mentioned before. I know mm-hmm. we all have. One more question. This 21% increase, this is probably for Mason, what money are we talking about? What do we realize with the 21% increase over the first year?
I'm not. Oh, just in terms of revenues, I'd have to pop it up. I'd have to have like a model out for me to answer that question. But I can certainly, you know, give the assembly that information. Basically, this was all modeled based off of operating revenues and meeting, you know, capital infrastructure needs over the next 5 years. So Tom's number is 6 to 8.9 million. You know, just one note for me, I guess, is just we know we're below our neighboring communities. We're trying to instill this kind of foresight moving forward. You know, those are just a handful of needs. And with the water, you know, water too, that was just for financing of the water treatment plant. You know, we have the second worst dams in the state, and we got all these water mains. And so these are just a handful of needs. And, you know, we don't even know what the unexpected costs are, the unforeseen consequences that are out there. So
the strange thing about, you know, listening to you, this 5-year horizon that we have on this resolution probably, well, most certainly is not adequate. It should be a longer horizon, but you have different assemblies coming along, so there's no guarantee. Actually, the only guarantee is the first year on your rate increase, because other assemblies can certainly change that. But I still think I wish I knew the figure of the what the 21% buys us, what we would realize that first year.
Yeah, I'd have to look at operating revenues again, just so I'm not spitting out numbers aimlessly.
Because this is fixed costs for the public. You know, there's no way to, you know, you can turn down your heat and put a sweater on, but you can't do anything. So that's why I'm hesitant about this.
Yeah.
And I don't know the rationale of, you know, doing the same step down, if you will, that we did for the water.
Yeah, I think the idea was to mirror the increase in the water just to be consistent in our rate structure. And also, going back to the table, the reason we did a 5 year is to kind of give ratepayers some perspective on what's to come. That way it's not just like this arbitrary, like, oh, we're going to increase it this year and wait 7 years and then we might increase it. So that was the idea. Of course, we can always change the table. But yeah, that was kind of the idea behind that. So no matter what the rate increases proposed are, right now, the 21%, the 5, the 3, the 2.2, it's still not enough to meet our needs. It's just
right.
trying to save to eventually meet those needs in the future.
Well, out of fairness as well, Mason, you've had clear direction from this assembly
yeah.
that we want you to start doing rate increases on a more annualized basis. We've clearly stated that.
Yeah.
Holly acts that every time, it's about every assembly meeting, and I know we've all said it, that we don't want to be in these positions where we're undercapitalized. I'm always worried about our reserves and catastrophic failures. Yes, Jeff.
Yeah, I think it's that one thing, too. We know over the next 5 years there's the Infrastructure Jobs Act that's out there. With most of those grants that you do have, there is a copay that you have to have.
Mm-hmm.
So the more money we have up front to be able to fund those copays and our contribution, the better off we're going to be able to go after some of these loans or some of the grants. Otherwise, we're going to have to try to go to get a loan. So, like I said, it's just having that upfront money now would definitely help us be able to go after some of those grants that are out there.
We're also seeing increased complexity in many of these systems. You know, we know already that the water treatment plant, we're hopeful that we will not see increased complexity, but there may well be increased complexity, and we may need more operators. We're already running such a lean, mean operation between the sewer and the water. We have been for years. It's just, I've always been amazed that we've gotten away with as few operators as we have. We may need to hire more people. That's increased costs. We may need to have, just even if we wind up, and I don't know how it will all work out, but if there's a more complex system for the effluent, we may need more operators, which again will dictate increased costs. If we can ease people into the cost increases, I understand there, you know, the front loading side of it, but it's bad timing. But it seems like every time we talked about costs, it's bad timing. Yeah. And it's just always bad timing. But okay, I'm going to ask if anybody else has any other comments. Patty?
Well, I was just going to say that we've already saved money, because at one time, several times in the past, we were going to try to do a rate study and hire a consultant to do that for us. And it was always my contention, I think others, that we didn't need to do that and waste that money. So that's the good thing.
Yeah, what is Petersburg's rate for the sewer?
I have in my office, but it's higher than ours across the board. Especially sanitation.
Yeah, I've always been amazed. Like even their garbage rate, for example, I know they charge you for everything. You look at their dump and there's a fee for it. I mean, I'm just amazed at the costs there. But yeah, I don't think we're outrageous on our costs. I know our harbor rates are great. We've just been pretty darn spoiled.
Yeah. Not to get too far off track here, but the last time a rate study was done, I believe, was 2011. And in that rate study, they identify you should have this much money at the end of 5 years. You know, you're going to have to pay for this. You're going to have to pay for that. It didn't include everything that's in the system or that's been added into the system. And at the time, the rates that were developed from 2011 to 2016, they knew they weren't going to have enough money then. It was in the rate study. Like, this is your minimum that you have to raise it to get to what you should be. And the assembly at the time went with a lower rate, so they knew then that they weren't going to have enough money. And we are, you know, continuing to try and work with that, I guess, now.
Okay. Patty, I'm going to give you one more shot here. Go ahead.
Well, I may make an amendment and see if you guys will go for it.
You are welcome to make an amendment.
I amend that... make a motion to amend the resolution to have the percentage increases be reflected as the following: 10% the first year, 10% the second, 5% the third, 5% the fourth, 5% the fifth. I'll even raise it up. That'll realize almost a 40% increase over 5 years.
The motion has been made. Do we have a second? I'm afraid I don't hear a second, so the motion is going to die due to a lack of a second.
Okay.
At this point, I'm going to ask for the roll to be called on the original motion.
Assembly members Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
And Mayor
Pisanka? Yes. And with that, we'll move on to item number 12, unfinished business. There is none. Item 13, new business. There is none. Item 14, attorney files available for assembly review in the borough clerk's office. Item 15, executive session. There is none. Item 16, adjournment. And with that, we will adjourn at 8:15.